This is Amy, the Senior Group Fitness Instructor at the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com.
Hi, and welcome to a very special edition of the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Special for two reasons. First of all, is I'm bringing on Jennifer Sage to be my co-host for today's podcast. Jennifer and I spent some time together, and we really enjoyed talking to each other. We have some similar goals. Jennifer with her Fun Hog Spin blog, and me with my podcast. So I thought it would be fun to bring her on. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me.
This is kind of fun for me. I'm realizing that I don't think people necessarily want to hear me, but they, just judging from the number of people that have downloaded your podcast, I think you're just pressing on 1,000 downloads or thereabouts. They want to hear people like you. So I thought, well, why not bring her on, and together we can interview Johnny G, and we'll have Johnny G joining us here shortly. What have you been up to lately?
Well, it is middle of October, and as you know, I have a bicycle tour company. The Tour de France announcement comes out next week, which means we're going to find out the route, and I already have some really good ideas where it's going to be. So I've been trying to get hotels for my tours. It's been crazy. It's a long, complicated, stressful process, but it's exciting, too.
It is, and it's something that's really your expertise in this situation, I bet.
Yeah, I know France really well. In fact, the tour's going into Switzerland, and that's what I'm trying to get into Switzerland. And I haven't ridden there in many years, but I still know the area. So it's a puzzle. We're trying to put together an exciting tour that doesn't have too much van shuttling, because I hate that. But trying to go to the best, most exciting stages, and you also need really good hotels, and you need great food, and you need great roads. So you got to put all these pieces together so that it turns into an amazing experience for your clients.
You told me earlier that you speak fluent French, and I'm dying to hear how you would say the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast in French.
Oh, you know,
have I put you on the spot?
Well, you did, because I don't. You know, it would probably be an idiomatic term that I have to say in Europe. Maybe if anyone here is listening from Europe, you might realize this, but France is behind some of the other countries. You know, the Italians and the Swiss and the Dutch and the Spanish are all crazy about spinning and indoor cycling, but the French can understand why anyone would do it indoors. You know, they're so into their whole culture of outdoor cycling. So it hasn't really taken off there, although it's starting.
Okay.
I really don't know how to say it. Faire du vélo dedans.
All right. Well,
ride a bike indoors.
And I realize not everything translates perfectly.
And you know, spinning does exist. They say le spinning.
Okay. That's how I would say it.
Or what was that from Pulp Fiction? I think he says le Big Mac or something.
I gotcha. Okay. Anyway,
yeah. It was a bad joke.
What I was excited about is I finally made my plans to go to the Active Healthy Living Conference in November that's put on by Heart Zones.
And so you'll be in Denver. You'll be near me.
Yes, I will. And maybe we can actually meet if things work out.
If I can get this, 2 hours away, but I'd love to come down and see you.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. My great fear, though, is as a flatlander here in Minnesota, is the 5,000-foot elevation. And because I've never really worked out at altitude, and I realize you're going to tell me that's probably not very high.
Well, it's 3,000 feet lower than where I live, so to me, that's going down. Some people have problems in Denver, but I don't think you will have a problem. Most, you know, people come up here where I live, up near Vail, to ski, and yeah, they're breathing hard, riding a bike, it's hard, but it's not impossible. You'll do fine.
We got to get to Johnny G here in a minute, but I had one question I figured I'd ask you, since you probably know the answers. Does your anaerobic threshold change at higher elevations, you know, with less oxygen, or does it remain the same? Do you know the answer to that?
It does change. I will tell you, I've never been tested at sea level or a lower altitude. I've only ever been tested up here, so I know what it is up here. I do know that when I take my bike to Europe or take my bike to California or get a chance to ride somewhere else or even teach a spinning class, you know, in Miami or something, I just feel full of energy. It's a wonderful feeling.
As you have that altitude acclimation, I guess they would call it.
Yes, but that is a short-lived. They say that, you know, when you get down to the flatland, you lose it in, I say the flatland, when you get down to lower altitude, you lose it in 3 to 5 days.
Oh, wow.
The benefit.
And do you gain it that quickly when you go back?
Even if I'm only gone for a weekend, believe it or not, I feel it that next day or that day when I get back, but I get it back more quickly than someone who just moves up here comes to visit.
As part of my podcast that I'm doing about as far as my participation in the conference, because I'm going to take both of their indoor cycle training programs from one end to the other, and just so that I can report back as to my experiences and hopefully interview the presenters, maybe some of the participants. I'm hoping to find some people that are maybe enthusiasts that are, you know, just learning to be indoor cycling instructors to get some feedback from them that I can pass on to the people listening.
Well, that'd be great, but also let us know how your breathing goes down there.
Oh, I will. I will, believe me. All right. Well, good. Well, I think we need to give Johnny G a call here and bring him on and see what's going on with cranking and his new crank cycle.
I am excited.
All right, we have Johnny G on the line. Johnny, welcome to the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's afternoon here in Minneapolis, so I'm finding you where today?
Montecito, California, which is down the street from Santa Barbara.
Oh, I bet it's beautiful.
Sunny day.
Joining us is Jennifer Sage, Master Instructor. Say hello to Johnny, Jennifer.
Hi, Johnny. It's really great to hear your voice again.
Likewise.
Well, thank you.
We're here to talk about crank in your new crank cycle.
What was the evolution of the crank cycle? What inspired you? I mean, you're always such an inspirational person. There must have been some spark that made you think about this.
In 2002, I was invited to a event in San Diego at the La Jolla Cove called the Tour de Cove. And I was out on a bike ride with Jim Carana, who is Chief Fitness Officer of Club One. And he said, you know, you've got to come to this event. It's a charity event. It's awesome. It's for challenged athletes, and they combine it with the San Diego Triathlon Series. And it's the most inspirational event that you can go to. So I decided to go down with him. And it was a five-hour challenge where they had spinning bikes up on the stage and I think 100 participants that either went as relay riders or went solo.
Uh-huh.
And I participated in this event. And it was absolutely amazing to see the inspiration, the courage of all these athletes that were either had an arm or a leg missing. They were born with a challenge, and some of them had prosthetics. Some of them were just working with what they had. And I'd never seen anything like this in athletics before. It was my first exposure. And down on the off the stage, there was this young man. He was about 14 years old. And they had him on a hand cycle that was made like a recumbent bicycle on a pair of rollers. And he had been cranking his arms for about 30 minutes. And I thought, you know, I really want to try this. And about 2.5 hours later, 3 hours later, I got off the bike and I went down to him and said, do you mind if I have a try on this? And in 10 minutes, it was like the light bulb went off. I thought,
wow.
You know, it's so uncomfortable. It's so restrictive. I could do something with this. And that was the beginning of the awareness that something like this could be an unbelievable tool for millions of people.
Something similar to what you did with indoor cycling.
Yeah. It was similar inspiration. It happened in a different way, but it was the same type of spark. I saw it. I saw the vision.
Well, you're such a visionary person that I can just imagine. You know, I will be in San Diego at the end of this month with you. I'll be up on stage with you, and I am presenting there at the Tour de Cove this year, and I am so excited about this, Johnny. I've done a lot of fundraisers, but I've never been as excited about doing one as I am about this. So I'll be seeing you shortly. Okay. This is my first time going, and you know, as you know, last year was canceled because of the fires in San Diego, and I was so disappointed for many reasons. I mean, not just the event, but the fires. But so now I'm even. It's been 2 years. So of waiting, so I am excited, and I get to see those cranks. And
yeah, this year event is an amazing event. They have Club One has granted 20 crank cycles out of their inventory with the bicycles, and I believe they host the event every year. So Sunday October 26th, La Jolla Cove. For anybody that. Goes down. It's the most fantastic event.
And it's in San Diego or thereabouts, and so it's probably one of the most beautiful places on the earth as well.
Yeah, it's right on a park overlooking the ocean. It's incredible.
Yeah, I grew up in San Diego, and La Jolla is absolutely gorgeous. The cove is, you know, the waves come crashing in this little rocky cove, and it is going to be spectacular.
Johnny, can you give us some understanding of the actual crank cycles? And I recognize that there's some unique things to them that people at first glance might not appreciate.
What I did was I constructed the first prototype around independent crank arms. Most UBEs have, well, all UBEs have been constructed where they have a fixed crank arm, which means it's very similar to a bicycle. If you imagine a bicycle that you pedal with your legs, you can go in one motion. One pedal follows the next, and it's fixed. And you roll your legs in a circle. It doesn't have the ability to pedal with your left leg while your right leg is stationary, and then you pedal with your right leg, and your left leg is stationary. Or you can pedal with both legs going over the top in a double movement. So when I got on the crank cycle for the first time and I'd used UBEs, which are possibly the most boring piece of equipment out there, and you find them in most health clubs next to the exit.
exactly. There's one of them.
Yeah, it's really not fun. And you've sort of got about 5 or 10 minutes and that's it. So what I did was I got a patent on the independent crank arm. And I designed a bicycle, imagine a bicycle, a stationary bike, but instead of having pedals at the bottom for your legs, I removed, in concept, the handlebars, and instead of having handlebars, placed the crank arms up at the top where your handlebars would be, which would give you the ability to stand up, sit down, and it's pretty simple. There are four basic movements sitting, there are four movements standing, and then you can go backwards. So you've got a total of 12 movements, and you have the ability to go independent left, independent right, double, and then you split the crank arms, and you have the resistance control, which comes off a flywheel. Sort of similar to an indoor stationary bike that's manual, not computerized. Mm-hmm. And what this does is it gives you the ability to find a tremendous amount of rhythm and movement with the upper body. The legs are restricted, and even though you can find basic pedal rhythm, you don't have the freedom and expression with your upper body that you do when you're connected with the arm. So we have this saying that we compete with nothing, but we complement everything. So if you have a crank cycle next to a treadmill, an elliptical, you could have it next to a recumbent bicycle, you could use it for personal training and have it in the weight room, you can use it for rehab, you can use it for cross training. The applications of it are amazing. For swimmers, for runners, for or mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's just unbelievable.
Well, this is exciting because I think a lot of people who have heard of it or hear about the concept think that it is just for therapy. And you're saying it's not. It's for anyone. Anyone can benefit from this.
Yeah, the distribution of population is immense. It's very broad. You have the population that has breast cancer, as far as it goes, flushing the upper body is amazing. I believe they call it some kind of lipidemia, if that's right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Where the body drains fluid, and you have the senior population who has fear of falling.
Right.
Very suitable and a fantastic movement for them. You have triathletes and anybody that wants to cross train to be able to work lower body using a bicycle, and you come back from your ride and then you get onto the train cycle and you can fuse it with upper body. So as far as the full body training session, it's unbelievable using lower and upper body. You have the ability to do a power crank, which is 20 to 30 minutes, where you get the most amazing flush and pump on the upper body. So that leads straight into strength training. And then most people say, well, why would I use a crank cycle or train upper body cardio when my legs are a bigger muscle group and I can achieve heart rate? So what we did was we hooked up with a company called Suunto, and at all our appearances, we use a telemetric system where everybody gets up on a telemetric board, and they're all hooked up with their heart monitors, and you can see exactly where everybody is. And what we found with the independent movements and what is actually happening from a physiological point of view, that people are getting higher heart rates on the tank cycle than they are on a bicycle or a treadmill or any other piece of equipment, which is phenomenal. So this is being tested at labs and universities across the country right now, and we'll have some scientific data back in the next couple of months.
Johnny, can you talk to me kind of about how you would structure a class around a crank cycle?
Imagine having a heavy bag, a jump rope, any piece of equipment that works the upper body. It's a tool. Because your legs aren't tied to anything, you have this flexibility of movement. Because it has a saddle and you can sit, you also have the ability to change your leg position and stand. You can stand in a lunge, you can stand in a squat, you can stand with your left leg forward, you can stand with your right leg forward. So you can move your lower body, which is the first liberation. Your lower body is liberated, just like you were doing a step class, an aerobic class, a dance class, a movement, a martial arts class. You're not restricted. Your feet aren't restricted. So this gives you a natural rhythm. The other thing is, because of the independent crank arms, you have the ability to drive with your one arm, where you can wind it, you can crank it, you can move it. You can find an expression of rhythm on your one side. Then you have the opportunity to switch legs, to switch movements, to go with rhythm and timing and breathing, syncing the whole body, going with the right side. Then you can switch your patterns, and you can go from right to left to a double. You can shift movements very easily, and your movements are natural. They flow. You also have the ability to add resistance. Because you can add resistance, you have the ability to taper your pace. So if you were constructing a training session around this idea or philosophy of having multiple movements, combination of movements, being able to go fast, to go slow, to add resistance while you're going fast or slow, you can pattern different things. So let's start from the beginning. You have your warm-up, and your warm-up in a structured point of view could be at a heart rate between 50 and 65%, or as I term it, in a color zone. And the color zones would represent all your intensity. So starting off in a color zone, you would be able to do a heart rate meditation. You would be able to control the nervous system. You have the opportunity to breathe, relax, focus, to be able to come to a place of center. From this point, we can start with a basic loosening up movement on the left arm, 20 repetitions, 30 repetitions, 50 repetitions. So we can use repetition as a guide, we can use time as a guide, and we can use intensity or heart rate as a guide. It's then natural to go from the one arm to work the other arm. The reason why we start with independence first is because you want to find the flow, the rhythm, the timing, to be able to coordinate your breathing, to find this incredible feeling of the left-hand side and left and right on sync up, so you have the neurological system that needs to come into play, and the physical system of the muscle coordination, and you switch to the other side. You then make a transition into a double. So now after 10 minutes, you can go from a left to a right to a double. You can add resistance. You can go up in your color zones. You can go up in your heart rate. You can go up with your time. You can go up with intensity. You can go up with speed. You can go up in lots of different ways. You then have the ability to sit and focus on a split. A split is like riding a bicycle with your upper body. No different. Exactly the same. You can stay there and do an endurance ride. You can do a hill climb. You can go into high intensity. You can have competition with your teammates. It's very fun. A lot of movements out there today in training programs are very serious. They're restricted to a lot of different movements. This is very intuitive. So it can be controlled or it can be extremely intuitive. So what happens is it has a sense of rhythm, of feeling, of flow, of dance, of excitement, liberation, self-expression.
By writing artistry down here, I mean, all of a sudden we have all sorts of much more flexibility than we do have on an indoor cycling bike.
Or any other piece of equipment. I think if you're relating it to an indoor cycling bike, there are facilities out there. See, I'm in the game today of creating opportunities for individuals who want to improve their physical ability or their psychological ability. I've created a piece of equipment called the Johnny G. Crank Cycle. What you see in the marketplace today is a patented prototype. This prototype now has evolved. The club industry in 2 weeks, and at IRSA, we're actually releasing the Johnny G. Crank Cycle by Matrix, which is 100% completely different to anything that's ever been seen. It doesn't utilize one bicycle component. It utilizes nothing in existence. Every single part has been specifically designed for this activity. The Johnny G. Crank Cycle can be used with any piece of equipment that exists in a group exercise format, on a floor, a cardiovascular floor, in the weight room. So this depends on how the gym or the facility or the rehab center wants to utilize it. So once you understand the mechanics of this incredibly diverse piece of equipment, the instructor can use it in any way that they see fit. So if you come from a background of group exercise, it's a complement to anything happening in the group exercise room. You can do it in a circuit. You can do it on its own. You can do it in combination with other pieces of equipment. So it's very, very diverse.
That sounds like it. It's very creative, and I think it's going to be really, it's really catching on, isn't it?
If you actually go to our website, there's some interesting articles that have been written on it. Most of our beta sites right now, we're in 30 beta sites, are running 20 to 30 classes a week. And then we have people like Gunnar Peterson, we have Mark Markles, we have different personal trainers. Peter Park, who's now training Lance for the tour. We have it set up in different personal training facilities. These trainers are having the most amazing time with it because they're using it for strength training. They're using it for cardiovascular training. They're using it for rehab, people with shoulder injuries, people with knee, hip, especially for athletes that are working a primary muscle group every day. Instead of taking an off day or taking a rest day, you can still work the heart, and you can train the heart at max intensity on a rest day, utilizing another muscle group. So using the upper body gives the legs a rest on off day. You can also do it in combination with the lower body and the upper body. You can split your training session between lower body work and upper body work. So you can go 20 minutes lower body, 20 minutes upper body. Your choice of how you use it or what tool you use to get this effect is totally up to you.
The articles that you have posted on your website, I read a couple of them. I can't remember if it was an article in the New Yorker where they interviewed some of the participants in the class. And it sounds like there's, with the split cranks, that there's a little bit of adaptation or technique that you have to develop.
You know, many years ago, I created a program called spinning. I think most people in the health and fitness industry have heard of it. They may have tried it. And especially being in the indoor cycling world yourself, this is what you stand for, this is what you represent, and it's wonderful talking to you today because the umbrella of what I created many, many years ago had a lot of variation and a lot of companies that came in and participants came in to express the amazing opportunities that which was provided using a stationary bike in different forms of constructing a training session. But when you look at the overall picture, the bicycle on the road has some very basic fundamental abilities. You can sit on a hill. You can stand on a hill. You can get out of the saddle and increase your pace. You can do intervals. You can sprint. You can take it easy on a flat road. So what happened was this went into an indoor cycling or an indoor riding format, a few hand positions to some movements. And actually, some of the movements expanded on what you could do on the road. The crank cycle diversity within itself is incredible in a couple of respects. What it does is it takes a athletic form, whether you're riding a bike with your legs or you're riding a bike with your upper body. It has a structure to it, but it also has a freedom to it. So when you look at some of the movements that you perform on the road, let's say running out of the saddle, there's technique involved. When you sit in the saddle and you're climbing a hill and you're letting the bicycle flop from side to side, there's technique involved. When you come indoors and you get on the stationary bike doesn't move. It's a solid piece of metal. It's stationary. So you make the transition to moving your body. And when your body moves, it's the same as a treadmill, running outdoors and then running on a stationary piece of equipment. You make the adaptation, and it's in this adaptation that you deal with basic, and this may be too philosophical for most people, but I'm going to put it out there anyway, because this is the way I see it. What happens is you make a transition from being flexible and free in one activity to finding a way to deal with technique and the limitation of what you're simulating. So if you take the bicycle, for example, you can take a life cycle and you can take a regular bike. And from the life cycle, you're restricted, but you can add resistance, you can close your eyes, you can feel a simulation of what you would be doing on the regular road. But you're not dealing with condition, you're not dealing with wind, and you're not dealing with the rain and turns and different things like that. So you have basic mechanics. When I came out with spinning many years ago, I chose the fixed gear because I used to spend a lot of time riding a fixed gear bicycle for a period of 2 to 3 months every year. And I loved the results that a fixed gear bicycle gave me when I was training for the race across America and some big bicycle races. It gave me the ability to smooth out my pedal stroke. It gave me the ability to get out of the saddle and move over the gaps in the circle. When you go to the independent crank arms, and this is a long way of getting there, when you work the independent crank arms, you have to work between a left circle and a right circle, which are basically taken for granted with a fixed gear. It's a neurological thing. It's an imbalance between our muscle groups. We don't think about just dragging the left pedal through a pedal stroke or the right pedal through a pedal stroke because they're connected. It's a very subtle shift of energy. But the muscles basically just roll in a circle together. When you work an independent crank arm, there's this slop. And we purposely made a little more slop than fixing it where it would be a quick engagement. And what this would do, it would make you find the balance between your left and right side. So if you have a look at somebody who's been cranking for 3 weeks to 6 months, their movements become fluid, flexible. The slop disappears. And what I believe in any training system, we need something to gauge our progress. I've walked into indoor cycling classes and I've witnessed people that are running on the pedals, dancing on the pedals. It looks like the bicycle is actually moving. It goes from being a restricted piece of equipment to something that comes to life. I've seen people on a treadmill running, yet the treadmill disappears, and it looks like they're running a marathon. They're out there. They're floating. They're flying. There's no treadmill. This is taking a piece of mechanical equipment and turning it into art. And the art is the transition of making it disappear, making this tool that isolated or restrictive through technique, making this piece of equipment a simulation of what you're trying to perform physically, and that's to empower yourself and not be limited to the piece of equipment. The crank cycle disappears very quickly. You see movement, you see timing, you see rhythm. You see people very quickly going from an independent left to an independent right. Have you ever seen anybody on a speed bag?
Yeah.
You know how you have to get this coordination where it starts off, ba-ba, 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 ba-ba?
Well, it's hard to do.
Sure. But what happens when you see somebody in the gym playing on the speed bag that's been doing it for a while? It has this incredible rhythm.
It really is. It's amazing to watch.
Same as the step. When you see somebody stepping for the first time, they're trying to coordinate their legs. all of a sudden the depth disappears and you have somebody dancing in the air and dancing on the ground and turning around and finding height and rhythm, finding a timing, an expression, their personality of who they are comes through themselves. Same as a jump rope. Same as any piece of equipment. Whether it's a staff in a martial arts form, it becomes part of the movement. So the crank cycle, in short, has been designed that it gives you the ability to move into natural movement. Natural movement needs to be coordinated. In this coordination, it works in a way unlike anything I've ever experienced or seen in the fitness industry up to date.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And just listening to you talk, Johnny, I never had the privilege of taking any training directly from you. I can understand how you championed the whole spinning thing forward and mesmerized people in the process.
Thank you.
Jennifer, I'm going to be excited to hear from you after Tour de Cove. I'm going to guess you're going to have a chance to do some cranking while you're there.
Well, I'll be up on stage on a spin bike, but I will definitely... Well, Johnny, let me ask you, about how many people will be on the crank cycles, and are you going to be, like, conducting... Like, for example, I know both Mike and I are presenting, and is Mike presenting?
Yeah, he'll be there. I'm actually just coming to say a few words. It's not my event. I have been invited to by Club One and the Tour de Cove. I've been involved in this charity since 2002. From a personal point of view, it's put on by some South Africans. The CEO of the organization is a very good friend. So I'll be there just to say a couple of words and not actually be participating in the event. I'll be participating in the overall fundraiser.
Oh, okay. All right.
We do have a crew of about 30 to 40 people that will be participating in the event. The crank cycles over the period of 5 hours, I believe, have been constructed where people that will be teaching on stage, I believe there'll be a whole bunch of crank cycles, whether you're riding a bicycle or whether you're riding the crank cycle. It's a very complementary piece of equipment. It is
perfect.
A bicycle. The one will be ridden by vets from that have lost limbs and for people that haven't had the opportunity to participate because of their lower body injuries will be able to participate in this event. People that have never utilized the piece of equipment will be shown how to use it during the event. People will be able to try it or split up from the one piece of equipment to the other. I believe this is the format that Club One is doing with their equipment. I'm sure that the event will open many opportunities for a lot of people. My new product is actually wheelchair compatible, so from the following CAF events, we'll be able to see a tremendous amount of diversity.
Wow.
Amazing. And I can see the real value of that in a health club application. You know, granted, yes, we've had that one, whatever you call that, hand crank bike over by the exit.
That's the UBE he was talking about, upper body exerciser.
Right, but to be able to bring some of this population into group events, I think will be phenomenal.
Yeah, John, I think absolutely unbelievable. I've witnessed the application in some demos. I actually walked into a facility a couple weeks ago, and there were some crank cycles in the indoor cycling room, and there were people that were just switching it up, going from their lower body to their upper body. I saw people just staying on a crank cycle for the entire training session. There's a facility that I heard about that was using the crank cycle with a stationary bike, going 20 minutes on the one piece of equipment, And I think that I was actually pleasantly surprised that this integration was taking place, because what it does is it creates an opportunity for instructors and people that normally would not be able to participate, either teaching or people that never had an opportunity to belong to a health club or a facility, providing an opportunity for them.
Johnny, I have to thank you. This has been a very inspiring interview, and that was the whole intent of my podcast, is to be able to inspire not only myself, but other indoor cycling instructors, and I think you've done just that. And I can't wait until to get more distribution so that we begin seeing those bikes in Minnesota. I'd be sure excited to try one.
Yeah, global distribution will actually be happening from June next year, and Matrix has a fantastic distribution plan set up. They are in 70 countries, and they do have a very extensive force, so I hope that you get to experience it sooner than later.
I'm looking forward to it. Do you got anything else, Jennifer?
I do want to say, Johnny, that I am grateful to you almost every single day. Certainly every day I ride a spin bike, but just for your inspiration and your creativity for creating the spinning program. And that just makes me confident and sure that this is just going to be every bit as exciting and inspirational to people. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for taking your athletic background and the love and the inspiration that you've had through the years of experience and sharing it with so many people out there.
Yeah, it was 11 years ago I went through my master camp with you, and, you know, it's like it was yesterday. So thank you, and I appreciate it.
I can't wait to see you in San Diego.
2 weeks. Okay, and John and I will report back after that and let you know my experience with the crank cycle.
Johnny G, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Good luck with everything that you're doing.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny.
Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com.